if you plan on proceeding that way,
yes,
would be presented by Gino Adams, our program administrator for fisheries management and research for the state. He has one on the paddlefish program, and then a follow-up on that one would be a Proud Angler, a trophy fish program and recognition system.
All right.
There we go. Chris is trying to repair some batteries here, or get some new batteries. All right. Okay, I feel much better standing so I can point. Like John said, Gino Adams, Fisheries Program Administrator from Pier. I'm going to talk first about our paddlefish program, which is one of our most unique fisheries in the state. Some of the new commissioners probably haven't heard a whole lot about our paddlefish program, so figured I'd give some updates on some of the new stuff that we've been doing with the paddlefish seasons in South Dakota. And then the second presentation a little bit later will be on some of our Proud Angler and state record information that we have. So starting with, maybe. Paddlefish in South Dakota. So we've got three different opportunities for anglers to target paddlefish in South Dakota. All of these seasons are kind of managed by our Chamberlain staff, and they would have been here to give the presentation, but they're pretty busy with spring activities right now. So I offered to do it for them. Lake Francis case snagging and archery season is one of the newer seasons we have. That started in 2012. And then Gavin's Point Dam tailwater snagging season. So down below Gavin's Point, we have a snagging season. We also have an archery season down there below Gavin's Point. Start with Lake Francis case paddlefish snagging and archery. One thing you'll note different down on Gavin's Point, we separate out the archery and the snagging season. And on Lake Francis case, those are combined. We just made this change this year. So this will be the first year that you can shoot with archery equipment, a paddlefish during the Lake Francis case season. We had quite a few anglers when we initially started this program or this season on Francis case that inquired about archery equipment and bow fishing for paddlefish. When we started that season, we really wanted it. There's a low number of fish. It takes them a really long time to reproduce, to get old enough so they can reproduce, so they're very kind of fragile, so we wanted to really be conservative on our season, so we didn't have that archery included at the beginning. We wanted to see how the season would go, but this year we included it kind of at the request of a lot of those archery anglers. So now when you get a paddlefish snagging tag on Lake Francis case, you can take it with either snagging gear or archery gear. Down at Gavin's Point, they're separate seasons. Francis Case, Lake Francis Case, it's a pretty large reservoir, but most, and I would say all of the paddlefish angling opportunity is targeted right below the dam at Fort Thompson or the White River. So in the springtime, it's a May season, those fish go to flowing water, and those are the two places where the most water is flowing, so they congregate there and try and do their spawning activities. So that's where the anglers congregate to try and snag, or hopefully some of them will try shooting some with bows this year. There's 400 total permits for that season. 350 are for residents, and then there's another 25 that the Lower Brule tribe administers, and then Crow Creek has 25 that they administer also. Francis Case snagging applications. You can see on this figure, the bottom here is the number of applicants we have every year since 2012, which is on the x-axis. That yellow line would indicate that 350 permits that we have to hand out or to give out. You can see there that first year, 2012, we had over 2,000 applications for those 350 tags. So it was a pretty popular season from the start, and we've maintained that kind of 1,500 to 2,000 applications ever since. So it takes two or three years, three, 4 years to get a tag on Francis Case for paddlefish snagging. So angling effort, how much are these anglers targeting these paddlefish once they get a tag? The bottom is the year there since 2012, and then on the x-axis is the angler hours. So these anglers are targeting those fish anywhere from 2,500 to 3,500 hours worth of angling effort. And just to compare that, Lake Francis Case walleye fishery, or kind of the general fishery on Lake Francis Case, they average someplace around 500,000 angler hours in a season. So just for comparison's sake, you can see how small this paddlefish season is and the number of hours that are put into it versus all of our other angling opportunities. Catch rates. So 2012 through 18 on the bottom again, fish per hour on the left there. You can see it fluctuates between 0.2 and 0.5 fish per hour per angler. So what that, you can kind of translate that into, it would take anywhere from 2 hours to 4 hours for an angler to snag a paddlefish on Lake Francis Case. So they're lower density on Francis Case than they are below Gavin's, but they're bigger fish. So anglers have really been excited about this season since we started it. And you can compare that to the walleye catch per hour on Francis Case of 0.3 to 0.8. So you can see a lot of those years we have a lot higher than, or a little bit higher than 0.5. We get up to 0.8 sometimes, so those anglers are getting close to a fish per hour for walleye fishing. Harvested paddlefish. So of those 350 tags, how many of these anglers are actually harvesting a paddlefish? You can see that varies anywhere from around 150 to 200 paddlefish harvested per season. So that's a success rate of 40 to 50% of our anglers that are getting a tag are actually harvesting a paddlefish. And that, like I said, big fish is what people were going for in this season, and that's what everyone was excited about compared to that Gavin's Point season where you have higher catch rates but smaller fish. We knew that there were some very big fish in Lake Francis Case. It's a reservoir system. It's not a river system, so a fish that's living in a river system is going to be smaller, skinnier. They fight the current all day. It's a lot different scenario, so these fish are allowed to grow much bigger than the fish below Gavin's. And we've had some very big fish caught. And the fish up on the upper left is approaching 100 pounds, and this is actually our very own Bill Harmon, works for Game Fish and Parks, and that's the state record paddlefish that he caught a few years back. And it was 127 pounds and change. And we've actually had two or three others that have been pretty darn close to that state record since 2012. So there are some enormous paddlefish that are harvested in Francis Case. So Gavin's Point Dam tailwater paddlefish season. This one's a little bit different. It's a border water, so we manage it cooperatively with Nebraska, so we have to take that into account. We do a lot of paddlefish research and whatnot with Nebraska on this system. This one's different. It's an open system. So what does that mean? Like I said, Francis Case is a reservoir. That little black line there kind of shows where Gavin's Point Dam is. It's an open system because those paddlefish can go down the Missouri River and the Mississippi River, Ohio River, any place there's not a dam, those fish can go. And we've got a paddlefish program that tags paddlefish around the Midwest and all these places, and so we kind of work cooperatively through a group to see where all these paddlefish are going all over the place through tagging. And paddlefish are some of the most migratory fish we have in the United States, and it's not uncommon to have fish that were tagged in the Ohio River caught below Gavin's Point Dam. So that's why we say it's an open system, because those fish are coming and going constantly. Archery season is in June. We have 275 permits. We actually just changed this a few years ago, and this was working closely with the anglers. July and August was when the season was before, and there was a lot of anglers that were wishing we would move it up a little bit to June because the water's clear, the fish are in a little different location, so they're a little more susceptible to archery gear. And so we did that, and they actually increased their success rate, and the anglers have been pretty happy about that move since we made that change. Snagging season down there is in October. Those fish come up kind of below the dam there, and we actually have 1,600 permits. We have 1,600 permits, and Nebraska has 1,600 permits, so you can see it's a lot bigger season than the Francis K season. So the snagging season itself, we have harvest regulations that began in 1957. It was the first time we put limits on paddlefish, which the Gavin's Point Dam was put in and started in 1956. So right after the dam, we kind of put regulations in association with paddlefish. We had our first quota where we had a certain number of fish we wanted harvested, and then we shut the season down in 1989. And then we actually switched to a lottery system in 1997. Some of you may be familiar with back in the days when we had the quota, where we had basically it was a shotgun start to the season because everybody had to get their paddlefish. So we had wall-to-wall people lying on the shores and wall-to-wall people lying in the boat flinging giant hunks of lead at each other and getting mad at each other, and it was kind of a zoo. So we switched that to a lottery system in 97 where you have the whole month, there's a certain amount of tags, you can snag it whenever, we're not going to shut the season down midstream. And that has really helped with that crowding, those crowding issues. So the paddlefish applications down there versus Lake Francis case, you can see that with those 1,600 tags, there's anywhere between, nowadays, there's anywhere between 2,500 and 4,000, 4,500 snagging and archery tags that are, snagging tags that are applied for every year. You can see the archery tags for those, that limited number, 275. There's not near as many applicants for that. That's a much more specialized season. And you can see there, there's the number of, That's the number of, that's the average applicants for the Lake Francis case season. So you can just kind of compare the two and see how much bigger this season is than the Francis case season. Snagging use here below the dam, the angler hours a little bit higher than Francis case with all those tags, so somewhere between 10,000 and 18,000 angler hours. Paddlefish per hour, like I said before, that 0.3 of Lake Francis case, so they don't catch near as many fish per hour as they do down below Gavin's Point. You could, if you want to catch a lot more fish per hour, you go do that Gavin's Point season. You can see some of these lower years, 2018, 2014, a lot of that has to do with the water coming out of the dam. And we had some water conditions in 18 that really prohibited and even shut down some of those areas. The core shut down some of the areas to boating because of the water coming out. So that really impeded the harvest in some of those years. Harvest estimate, number harvested, you can see the black would be, Lake Francis case, there's no minimum size restriction. Those are all stocked fish, they don't reproduce, we stock them every year, so there's no size restriction. They can keep a 20-inch fish or a 60-inch fish, they can keep whatever. Down below the dam here, these are managed cooperatively, like I said, with Nebraska, and then those fish are coming and going. They reproduce themselves. They're not stocked, so we actually have a slot limit on those where you can keep a fish below 35 inches or above 45 inches just so we can protect some of those fish and leave them in the system for the future. The number harvested varies pretty significantly year to year, like I said, based on water, based on effort, but it's right there around that 400 to 1,000 out of the 1,600 tags. So it can vary greatly. You can see the harvest for snagging is much greater, for those sub 35-inch fish is much greater than the over 45-inch fish. There's been a few years where that white bar has gotten pretty big and there are some big fish caught, but for the most part, they're a lot smaller. Archery paddlefish. Like I said, it's a 30-day season since 2016 when we switched it, and we had that season change that I mentioned, and it has increased success for those paddlefish anglers, so that was a good change. There's been some changes in whether anglers are coming weekdays versus weekends with that change to June, and then also the increased tailwater and fewer in the river, so they're kind of targeting them in different areas. Archery paddlefish harvest, you can see 2016 when we made that change, the harvest or the amount of anglers that were successful greatly increased, so that's a good thing for those anglers. The percent of paddlefish harvested by archers that are between 35 and 45, so those archers, they can't really catch and release like the snaggers can. So we've got that 35 to 45 inch slot that is not in place for those archers. And you can see some years there's 40 to 60% of those fish that they are shooting are in that slot, but it's a lot smaller number that they're taking, so it's not really a big biological issue for the paddlefish population. So there's threats to paddlefish in South Dakota. A lot of these have to do, you know, Asian carp, zebra mussels, Asian clams, all those have to do with the food that paddlefish target. You would think that a 127-pound fish is eating really big food, but they're not. They're eating plankton. They basically swim around with their mouth open and filter plankton out of the water. So do zebra mussels and clams and Asian carp, and so those that competition between those species is kind of a hindrance to paddlefish populations. And the caviar trade. Paddlefish and sturgeon have, for many, many years, have been targeted for caviar, and paddlefish are no different. In some areas of their range in the United States, they are targeted by foreign companies and poaching rings that are targeting them just for paddlefish roe. So we don't have a huge issue with that in South Dakota, but it is a threat to those that paddlefish population in some areas. So that's the information I have on the paddlefish population. One other thing that I was going to mention, if I know we've been giving you guys some of the field opportunities that we have for you guys to go out and see what we're doing. This is one of the neatest ones. You can go do the paddlefish egg collection on the Missouri there. We take them right from the White River there in the spring. Actually, we do it right here in the next few weeks. If anybody wants to go on a crazy adventure, we float gill nets down the river. They're surface gill nets, so you can see buoys floating down the river, and those paddlefish shoot into that net, and all hell breaks loose, and it's a great time. So anybody that wants to go do that, it's super interesting, and you'll really get to see a neat aspect of our fisheries program. So feel free to contact us whenever, and we'll set that up for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Montana, they keep, once you catch fish, you don't have to, but they have piles and some ground, and they take eggs right there, and they sell them, and that money goes back into their purchase. So they take in quite a few bucks. I think the paddlefish on Yellowstone was 800, but they catch them pretty large.
Yeah, and there's a few states that do that. I know Oklahoma does that, Montana's done that, and we've had that question come up a few times with our paddlefish program, and we've looked at it, and you know, the one season, the Francis Case season that we're getting these huge females that are full of eggs, it's such a low number of tags, and it's such a small season that it really isn't financially prudent for us to do that with that small amount of tags. So we've looked at that for South Dakota in the recent past, and just kind of opted not to do that as far as collection of eggs. So, but yeah, I know there's a couple states that have a lot of paddlefish harvested, and they do that, and they make some money on it. So,
Gino, how old are those fish, the 100 pounds and the 127?
Paddlefish are pretty old. They're paddlefish and sturgeon live to be quite old. So, you know, they don't even get to be reproductively viable until they're in the teens for females and, you know, upper single digits for males. So those big ones can be 40, 50, 60 years old. Wow. Yeah, like some of those really big ones are, there's definitely pre-dam fish still in Francis Case.
And when people take those, I mean, what do they do? Do they eat them?
They eat them. They're fantastic. Yep. Yeah, there's no bones in them. All they have is cartilage, so they're kind of like shark. But yeah, you can fry it, you can grill it. It's kind of like, a lot of people say if you've ever eaten swordfish, it kind of is the consistency of swordfish, so it's a lot different. But yeah, they're really good to eat.
Commissioner Phillips.
You talked about releasing a snagged
yep.
fish. Is viable to
yep.
release a fish?
Yeah, there's been... studies done on hook size and mortality, and what they found was if you limit the hook size to a small enough size, there's virtually no mortality associated with it. So we have I think it's a 2-aught hook regulation where you can't have a bigger hook than that when you're snagging. And you can catch and release them all day long, and once in a while they catch one that has a little hook mark in it that's healed over, but paddlefish and sturgeon are like tanks. They're prehistoric. They can survive a lot. So that hook doesn't do anything to them.
Commissioner Olson.
Thanks. You mentioned Asian carp in your deal, and it reminded me that, you know, when you're snagging, a lot of people are snagging into Asian carp as well. What are anglers supposed to do with those?
They can keep those during the paddlefish snagging season. That's one time when you can, while you have an unlocked paddlefish tag, you can keep rough fish while you're down there snagging. So some people are keeping those, and silver carp and bighead carp are another one that people don't really associate with eating a lot, but they are really good. White flaky fish that a lot of people hear the name carp and they think it's kind of like our European carp that we have that aren't very good to eat. But no, those silver carp and bighead carp are good to eat, and people are keeping those a lot of the times. If they don't want to keep them, then they have to dispose of them properly, I guess, is the best way to put it. I mean, if they can find a dumpster or something around there, they can throw them in. A lot of people take them home for their gardens or something like that. So what we don't want them to do is throw them in the rocks or throw them on shore, because we've had some issues with that. Down below Gavin's Point, we've had that quite a bit where people are throwing rough fish into the rocks, and pretty soon it's pretty rank when you're sitting there trying to fish. So,
any other questions or comments? Thank you.
All right, the next one.
Yep.
Hey, thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, so my next presentation, this will be pretty quick, our Proud Angler and State Record Fish. I'll talk a little bit about the Proud Angler, State Record Fish programs, and then also the Channel Catfish State Record. It's kind of an interesting story. And